come worship him that day he was born. And a couple years later, the wise men showed up. They've been on a journey for a while, and today we still worship him. What's all that about? What is it really about? So we want to talk about the why and the how a little bit more. We did that a couple weeks ago, but we want to do that again today. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Then Herod the king heard this. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of the Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me also that I may worship him. And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east, which went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wow, what a story, huh? What an amazing story. Why do we worship Jesus? What's so special about Jesus? Why, a couple thousand years later, are we still worshiping Jesus? What is it really about? Well, in this story, we've learned some things. The first thing I think we've learned is the conception of Jesus Christ was immaculate. It was miraculous. A virgin was with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, that just doesn't happen every day. In fact, it's never happened any other day. That's the only time anything like that has ever happened. That was miraculous. It was prophesied. It was foretold. And it occurred just like it was foretold. Angels appeared. Why do we worship him? That's pretty special right there. Angels appeared, and they were declaring who Jesus was, what he was going to do, and they were convincing Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, hey, the angels, they had some things to say. Even Zechariah, you know, he had to confront an angel with his little issue, and there's so many angelic appearances and words and instructions, and it was really cool how these people obeyed what the angels had told them, and they followed what the angels had declared. I mean, if an angel appeared to you, it would be convincing, wouldn't it? Would that be convincing? there would be convincing. And they were convinced for sure. So when a bunch of angels show up and tell you, this is the Son of God, this is the Savior of the world, this is the Messiah, and you have all of these witnesses and you have all of these occurrences going on, there's a why for why we should worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus' birth and His life fulfilled many prophecies. Over 300 prophecies foretold Jesus, His coming, how He would be born, where He would be born, right through His childhood, right through His death, right through His resurrection. And there's still prophecies yet to be fulfilled. He's coming back again, and there's things that's going to happen on our planet. But over 300 things that were hundreds of years old foretold about Jesus, He fulfilled. That's a reason to worship Him. I mean, my mom predicted a couple things and they happened in my life, you know. It's like, I told you, you know. It's like, moms never want to say, I told you so, but they say, I told you so, right? But 300 prophetic utterances, hundreds of years, some of them thousands of years before, and Jesus fulfilled those. Those were signs. They were fulfilled. And you and I were supposed to look at those and go, this is the Messiah. The Jewish people still, most of the Jewish people still haven't quite acknowledged Him as their Messiah. But one of these days, they're going to go, that prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus. One of these days they're going to see, and they will worship Him, and they will celebrate Him. Jesus came to save us from our sins. That's a good reason to worship Him. You know that your sins will destroy you. Your enemy, Satan, that's all he wants to do, is steal and kill and destroy. That's all that he wants to do. But in the book of John, Jesus tells us, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Well, there's a reason to worship Him. He saves us from our sin. Not only does He get us to neutral, which would be good. I mean, if Jesus could just get us to neutral, we'd be okay. But He says, no, I came to give you abundant life. I came to make your life marvelous. Didn't the angels talk about peace and joy and goodwill? Jesus said, I came to do all of that for you. It's a great reason to worship Him. The universe declared and introduced Him to the astronomers, the wise men, who came from far, and they worshiped Jesus. If these wise men, we say three, because there were three gifts, it could have been two, it could have been 20, we don't know. But there were a bunch of wise men who were astronomers, and they were looking at the stars, and there were some prophecies, and there were some words about stars, and these guys were watching them, and all of a sudden that special star showed up, and they were watching for it. And when it showed up, they were so convinced, they left their homes, they left their jobs, they left their country, and they traveled for a couple years following the star until they found baby Jesus, or which would have been toddler Jesus at the time, and they bowed down and they worshiped Him and gave Him those gifts. That's convincing. These wise men, I like the little sign you see around that says, wise men still follow Him, or wise men still seek Him. And that's really true. I think that if we are wise, we will follow Jesus. We will seek Jesus. We will worship Jesus. There's so many reasons. We could stay here all day and talk about reasons why we should worship Jesus Christ. One reason is He saved me. He changed my life. That's one reason that I follow Jesus. I remember I was looking for, what is the purpose of life? What is it all about? And I was looking at the results other people were getting with their lives. And I was thinking, I don't know how old I am, I'm probably 14 or so. And I'm thinking, I want to start making decisions that are going to be great decisions that produce great results. What is life about? And I took a look with all of my wisdom at the age of 14, right? I was hungry, I was looking, I was interested. They didn't have Xboxes back then, so I had time to think, you know. They had Pong, though. It just wasn't that entertaining. Some of the kids are going, Pong, what's that? But so I was looking for answers. And as I looked, I found Jesus. Did Jesus save me? He did. Did Jesus protect me? He did. I'm not bragging. I have got nothing to brag about. But just as a young man, I decided to choose Jesus because I was watching the results of sin in other people's lives. And I said, I don't want that. I don't want alcoholism in my life. I don't want futility and sorrow compounded on itself. I don't want a lot of divorces. I don't want any divorces. I want to find that one woman that God made me for and her for me. And then I want to learn to love her the rest of my life. It's not always been easy. It's not always been easy for her to love me, I'm sure. We've had our battles. Anybody have battles in marriage? But we love each other. We're convinced that God put us together and we're going to figure it out and keep communicating and working it out. And I can just say that because of those decisions, Jesus Christ saved me from my sin. I would have been miserable, full of darkness, but He saved me from my sin. And I'm glad that I have a testimony that I did it earlier instead of later. I'm glad I have that testimony. I used to envy the people that could tell me all their testimonies and it was so cool. They'd done this and done that and been this and been that and then Jesus set them free. But I have a different testimony. I took a look around before I became an adult and I decided I want to follow Jesus and I want the results that He gives me. I've never drank a beer ever in my life because Jesus is better than alcohol. I've had one wife my entire life, and if everything works out well, I think it's going to stay that way if she'll keep me, you know. I was a virgin when I got married. Carrie and I dated 3.5 years, and the hormones were just as strong back then as they are today. Can you do that? I don't know. We did it in the 80s. We did it in the late 70s. Do you guys ever hear about the sexual revolution? I mean, that was in full swing back then. We did it. Why? The only answer I have is this. I really believe that Jesus Christ would save me from my sins. And that doesn't mean I committed a bunch and then He saved me. It can mean that. But for me, it meant He saved me from committing a bunch of sin, and I don't have those scars and those wounds and those pains. Jesus can restore us. He does. He can heal us. He does. He'll take you anywhere, anytime, any day, any way. He'll take you when you're 14 or when you're 84. He doesn't care. He'll heal you from all the trouble the enemy caused you, or He can prevent you from getting into all that trouble. Either way, He loves you, and He will save you from your sin. Amen. That's why I worship Him. And I love Him. I love what He's done in my life. I could talk to you about my life for a long time, but let's talk about how do we worship God. 2 weeks ago, we said the big how was tell others about Jesus. The angels did, the shepherds did. Tell others. That is a way you can worship Him, by telling others. And the world would love to silence us, but we cannot let them silence us. A part of our worship is telling the world that Jesus is Savior and He loves them and He's Creator and He's got a great plan for them. That's a part of our worship. But let's talk about Mary for a minute. You can worship God by letting Him use you. You know that Mary worshiped God because she said, "Be it unto me according to your will." You can use me. You can use my body. You can use my reputation. You can use my future. You can use me. It was a little scandalous that an engaged girl had a belly on her. A little scandalous. In those days, that was not acceptable. In those days, they would take you out and kill you for being a fornicator and an adulteress. And Joseph was willing to protect her because he loved her. He goes, "Mary, I don't know what has gone on, but I still love you and I want to protect you from the shame and the ridicule." But Mary herself said, "God, you can use me." And that's an act of worship. Whatever I have, it's yours. Whatever I am, it's yours. You can use me, God. I give you my life. And that is an act of worship. That is one of the hows. It would be hard to explain. It would be scandalous. Some did not understand, but Mary offered herself. She offered her reputation. She offered her body to God in worship. This is called ministry. This is called serving others. That was sacrificial. But it's an act of worship. Kari brought a bunch of people up here that were used by God to produce the ladies' tea event. It was sacrificial. Arby talked about the guys that showed up at 6 a.m. to put the tables away and put the pews and chairs back out and vacuum and clean it all up. That's an act of service. It's an act of worship. Sometimes we look at this as just jobs or just work. But it's worship. It's worship. It's one of the hows that we worship God with. What about Joseph? Joseph worshiped by supporting Mary and adjusting his life to cooperate with God's will. What are they going to say about Joseph? His attitude, his heart, he actually was all messed up about it, wouldn't we all be? Until the angel appeared to him and said, "Joe, chill, dude. The Holy Spirit did this, nobody else. It wasn't Fred, it wasn't Bill, it was the Holy Spirit. Your wife is a virgin. She has offered herself to us to bring forth the Messiah, just like it was prophesied. So I need you to come along with us." Man, we think it's hard for us to change and adjust to God's will sometimes. What do you think, Joseph? An act of worship is when you adjust your life, your thoughts, even your reputation to line up with God's will. That's an act of worship. "Scott, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And it's going to be quite sacrificial. But I'm going to let you deal with my fear. I'm going to let you deal with my skepticism. I'm going to let you deal with my wants and my desires. And I'm going to align myself with your will." That's an act of worship. "God, I am going to yield my sexual desires to you." Joseph married her, but had no sex with her until after Jesus was born. I'm sure it was a few weeks after that. Right? And we think it's hard for us to yield our sexual desires to God. To God's will. I mean, it's Christmas and I'm talking about sex. What's up with that, right? But do you know that Joseph yielded himself to the will of God? All of his desires and dreams, he yielded to the will of God. You know that Joseph isn't even in the picture a few years later. I don't know exactly why or what, but he was willing to do anything God wanted him to do, any way God wanted him to do it, and he was willing to yield his own desires and his own needs to fit God's will and God's desires and God's needs. That's called maturity. It's an act of worship when you and I mature to the point of yielding our desires and our will. We could call it holiness. We could call it spiritual growth. When you let go of your life and your desires and your will in order to do what God wants you to do, that's worship. That's maturity. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. The wise men, they came and they worshiped Jesus by worshiping him. That was one of the things they did, didn't they? They actually fell down, humbled themselves, and worshiped him. They got on their knees. Maybe they laid face down in front of him as an act of worship. They worshiped him. Sometimes I'm saying, God, I'm not sure we worship you the way you deserve to be worshiped. I'm not sure we do. Sometimes worship looks messy. Remember that woman that broke the alabaster box on the feet of Jesus and poured it out and then took her hair and washed his feet with her hair and a year's worth of wages of that ointment? And there were some people that thought that wasn't really appropriate. Jesus said, leave her alone. This is worship. This is worship. I'm not sure what else to say about it. I got a lot I'd like to say right there, but when you stop everything else and focus on Jesus, you're worshiping him. That's a challenge in our life, just that. Stopping everything else and just focusing on Jesus. That's a challenge sometimes, but it's worship when you do that. When you can actually accomplish that, that's worship. It's called magnifying him, magnification. It's you are making him big and you are making yourself small. That's worship. Magnifying the Lord. It's not that he's small that he needs magnified. It's just that you with your heart and your life and your choices let the world know how big he is to you and how small in comparison your needs and your desires and your will is compared to his will and his needs and his desires. That's worship. Jesus above everything else. When you say no to family pressures in order to come and do what God wants, that's worship. When you say no to work pressures in order to come and do what Jesus wants, that's worship. When you say no to pleasure seeking and you come and you assemble and you worship and you learn about God, that's worship. That's worship. Worship involves fellowship. It involves joining with others. It involves putting Jesus first and bowing down to him as the one who's worthy of your best attention and your best devotion. I don't know about you, but I consider this stuff a lot. God, am I worshiping you the way you are worthy of being worshiped? We're a little casual in our society about worship, about honor, about devotion. There's not a lot of brand loyalty. There's not a lot of loyalty at all sometimes in our society. And in the church, it's similar. And just with God in our worship, sometimes it's similar. Sometimes it's almost God will forgive us, God understands, God knows. Yeah, he does know. And he really wants your worship. He's worthy of your best attention and your best devotion. But if we're not careful, we get consumeristic about our relationship with God, and what can he do for me, and what is he doing for me, and I'll forgo worship sometimes for the busyness of my life, for my own wants and will. Sometimes I'll forgo worship. But on Christmas, when I think about the wise men, I think about worship. They put Jesus first, left everything for a couple of years, followed the star. They brought something also, didn't they? I saw something on Facebook the other day. It was Mary and the little drummer boy, and she goes, no, I just got him to sleep. He said, Brian played my drum for him for rum-pum-pum-pum. And I think the wise men, they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. They brought some valuable treasures. And you know that those treasures were actually perfectly timed by God so that Joseph and Mary and Jesus could run off into Egypt while Herod's killing all the babies being used by Satan to try to destroy the Messiah while he's still an infant or while he's still a toddler. And that offering was so important, was so special, was so necessary. So the wise men worshiped by giving also. They gave Jesus their service and their time and their talents and their treasures. And it's an act of worship when you give Jesus your time. It's an act of worship when you serve him and his cause. It's an act of worship when you take your talents and you use them for his will and his purposes. That's an act of worship. It's fun, it's pleasurable for us even, but it's still an act of worship. And it's an act of worship every time you put a dollar into an offering plate, or every time you help a need, it's an act of worship. God, I'm doing this because of you, for you. That's an act of worship. They gave their skills, they gave their talents, they gave their finances, they gave their treasures. You don't worship with just warm, fuzzy feelings. I like a couple warm, fuzzy feelings. A couple of years fine for me, but I like a couple, you know. But worship is bigger than that. It's more than that. A lot more than that. Kari's going to come sing a song for us. Why do we worship Jesus? We talked about that today. How? We talked about that today. Jesus deserves your best worship. He deserves your very best effort. He deserves your very best gifts. He is your creator. He is your savior. As soon as she's done, Arby, you can come up and close us out.